What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 99 of the Lukewarm Games Podcast, your source for unique perspectives on all things video games and pop culture. As always, I'm your host, Luke Lewis, and today I'm once again joined by the inspiration of Animal Crossing, Claire Hellenberger.
Woo, how's it going, Luke?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good vibes, good vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 99. That's pretty wild.
Wow, yeah.
So today, you'll notice I refer to you as the inspiration of Animal Crossing. What does that mean, listeners? I called you the inspiration because you were the inspiration for starting this podcast. Aww. You were the one who was like, you want to start a podcast? I'll do it with you. Let's make this happen. And thusly, you are the inspiration for the last 99 episodes and future episodes and all the episodes in between.
Indeed. That's so sweet.
Good vibes.
Anyway, good vibes.
So thank you for that. I wanted to use this episode. We have a special guest lined up for episode 100, and it's going to be very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But ahead of that, I just thought it'd be nice to have a quiet episode with you and I. We have a lot of guests coming up this fall, and we're very excited about all of them, and it's going to be a really fun time. Made a lot of cool connections with folks at events in the last few months, and I just wanted to take this episode to, you know, kind of just reminisce about the last 2 years of podcasting, because we've been doing this for that long, which is wild to me, and just kind of reflect on our favorite moments and favorite episodes and how the show's kind of evolved over time, and then get into a little bit of plans for next year and plans long term for the show, and just a chill, relaxing, little quaint, just Luke and Claire episode, which feels like kind of a rarity lately, because I'm so excited about all the guests, but it is nice just to kick it like old times, if you will.
Definitely.
Anyway, so jumping into things, as I said, we are calling this title track the Lukewarm Retrospective, because goddamn do I love a good branding opportunity. but yeah, I guess kicking it off with the obvious question, how does it feel that we're recording episode 100 in just a few days? Co-host Claire,
it kind of feels wild. Like, I feel like we've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in the rhythm of it for sure, so it doesn't necessarily surprise me that we're at episode 100, but like, actually think about it for a second, we've recorded at this point over 100 episodes of a podcast. Like, that's a big number, and it's a lot. And think about all the different episodes and all the things we've talked about and all the guests and all the opportunities. Like, it's awesome.
I think what got me was, before this episode, I was just scrolling through our catalog, looking at all the different topics, and it's just fun kind of seeing how our structure of the show evolved, how we started introducing guests, like, very early on, arguably before I was, like, technically ready, but we had such wonderful collaborators that showed me the ropes and,
you know, some of
made
that,
us welcome in the space. And
yeah, some of that also contributed to us being more ready.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, folks like, I look back at this list and I look at episode 3, our Hamilton review, that we had Alex O'Neill of Irrational Passions on, and, you know, he 100% took us under his wing when my tech crashed, and he recorded the episode for us and showed us a thing or two for the future, and it all kind of came full circle when we got to meet in person at PAX earlier this year and just chat how things have been going, and it's just really good vibes. You know, collaborating with somebody who I've followed and listened to and respected for a long time. Same goes with episode 4 with friend of the show Jacob McCourt. He straight up showed us our recording method that we still use to this day with guests, and gave me some audio editing tips, and you know, has just become one of our best friends on the internet, off the internet, and there's too many folks to name. You know, Joseph Hooper, he's been on the show many times. Katie Lesperance, who's been on the show many times. Zach Hartzman, who was on the show early on. Kyle Stevenson. I don't want to forget anybody. I'm just going to, like, scroll through these episodes to make sure I don't forget anybody. Luke Armstrong. I mentioned Kyle Stevenson, but he's awesome and a lovely person.
I think
Sam Woods from Dual Shockers, who we had on earlier.
Did we
that
have
that was last year, not this year?
Did we have Luis on our podcast?
Or Luis Alamillo. No, we had Luis Alamillo was on the podcast. That's fantastic.
That was a fun one.
Lucas Egan, of course, of the Land Party podcast, and I feel like I'm forgetting other people. I think that's everyone. If I'm forgetting you, I'm so sorry. You mean the world to us, and thank you for supporting our content.
It's not personal. It's just Swiss cheese brain.
It's not personal. It's just a lot of podcasts, and some of the names are cut off when I'm looking at the episode descriptions. I'm pretty sure that's everybody. Anyway, point being, it's been incredibly fun to continue to collaborate with folks, yes. Have returning guests be guests on their podcast as a result of them coming on our podcast, making friends across the globe. And just, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me right now as I look at episode 100. It's 100 memories, 100 moments, 100 evenings that were made better.
Or mornings.
Or mornings or afternoons that were made better because I got to collaborate with you and our friends and talk about video games or movies or TV shows or nerd culture in general and just spread the good vibes, which was
indeed
the whole point.
Speaking of the whole point, what were some early goals of starting this podcast, and do you feel like we've met them, and what does that mean for the future?
Love it. Great question. I think personally my early goals were literally just to do it. I wanted to produce a podcast. I wanted to prove to myself that I could. Really, it's been a dream of mine, you know, since I was 10 or 11 years old and started listening to the Game Informer show with Matt Helgeson back in the day, and Podcast Beyond with Greg Miller, of course, who later went on to do Kind of Funny. And like, I've always been inspired by podcasts, and I think podcasts have, especially gaming podcasts, have gotten me through some of my toughest times in my life and some of my best times. They've just been a constant of, you know, I listen to podcasts before I go to bed. I listen to podcasts while I'm on my way to work, out and about. And it's just like my de-stress is podcasts. And I wanted to create a podcast because of all the positive vibes and good, just welcoming presence I received from podcasts. And I also, you know, ultimately my goal is to work in the games industry. So early on, I really think my main goal was build a portfolio, establish that we can do this, establish that I can edit audio, I can arrange guests, I can talk about games in a critical way. And you really allowed me the space to do that, because I think I was in the ideation phase of the podcast for about 10 years. And I was really just stuck on, what do I call it? Who will be on it with me? What do we talk about? We need a unique twist, this and that. Like, I just was really, really struggling to just like settle on something. But I think having you involved, you wanting to collaborate, you wanting to be a part of it, really unlocked the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. Of it was off to the races. And once we were going, it was a lot easier to innovate, come up with ideas, introduce new segments.
We just needed to get experiment. A foot
it's
in
just
the door
like it's so hard to conceptualize, especially when you're creating something, just like before it's anything's out there. That's like was definitely the hardest part for me.
Yeah,
so I think the early goal was to produce a show. I think immediately after starting the show, it was, how can we make the audio the best possible? How can we record guest audio with the highest quality? And how can I kind of just master those technical aspects, which I will say I'm really proud of the audio quality of our podcast, considering like we have, you know, we started with a Blue Yeti at our dining room table facing each other, and now we're sharing a mic with our Elgato, but you know, my audio skills and recording and editing skills have really gotten a lot better over the years that we've been doing this. And like at PAX, when I was able to use my Zoom H6 and XLR microphones and edit four simultaneous my audio levels and set levels, and
that was definitely a high
and,
point.
And you know, produce that podcast, edit it before I went to bed that night, or no, I got up early the next morning before the convention, edited it, published it. And I remember a friend of the show, Joseph Hooper, who we were at PAX with, was like, how'd you get that up so fast? Did you edit it? And you probably didn't edit it. And I was like, no, I edited it this morning, and I got it up, and I was just like really proud at like the audio quality of that podcast. And yeah, I think, and me personally too, I love hosting podcasts. I really love kind of like guiding conversations, and especially in interviews, asking interesting questions and just getting to know folks and kind of curate that space. I feel like I've been rambling, and you're as equal and integral a part of this podcast as I am. So I'd love to hear,
I mean,
kind of your thoughts as well on some of this. But I mean, I, you know, this was my dream, my goal that you made happen. But I really think it's been really fun watching you kind of come into your element as we hosted the podcast, because I think early on you were like, I'll do this for you because I know it's important to you. But I think the more and more we did it and meeting people and everything, like, you've really come into your own too. And like,
oh, thank you.
As a host, as a question asker, as a video game player, like, it's been really fun just to see you get to, I feel like our listeners have gotten to see a side of you that not everyone gets to see. I get to see.
That's very true. Yeah.
We've been together for 6 years, but like, you know, if you're not super close and involved in our lives, like, maybe you don't know, Claire is absolutely hilarious and insightful and entertaining and has really interesting perspective on storytelling and gameplay. And just like, I've really enjoyed, I wanted to start this podcast when she suggested starting it together, just because we were having this podcast off the air for years. Yeah, I was going to say that,
like,
you know,
just our conversation, we were like, we could just record this and it would be.
And so it's just been really fun to watch you, like, watch you get positive feedback, or not even feedback, that's not the right word, positive,
but just like
positive
vibes, just good vibes from
compliments
other people.
Is the word I'm looking for, but just like have people like find you as entertaining and insightful as I do, and it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun for me too. I feel like this podcast has given me confidence now when I'm talking to other people actually face-to-face and not just talking to your microphone, like, knowing that people are going to listen to it. It's an interesting sort of thing of, like, just feeling like what I have to say matters enough that someone should listen to it is not something that I have felt for most of my life in a lot of ways. And that's kind of helped me be able to, like, raise my voice in other settings and just be myself and be, like, less self-conscious. And I think that that's more fun. Like, I have more fun being alive now.
That's awesome.
Because of that. So
I love that.
So yeah, it's been really great. And just like finding my voice and our voice together. So I feel like that's been really nice. Also, in terms of like the learning how to use technology and like audio stuff, like, I've definitely learned a thing or two. You're the one who does the bulk of the work on that front. But I feel like I've learned a thing or two for sure.
Well, and, like, I edit the show and I, like, produce the show, but I think you've taken a lot of the skills that we've learned together and in your classroom as a music teacher, edit videos and music projects for your students and do a lot of creative things, especially amidst the pandemic when we started
this
podcast during virtual learning and things. Like, you were piecing together, you know, dozens of your students sending you sound clips into a mega concert. Like,
you
did some amazing things.
There was
on
a really fun
front, so
there was a really fun period of online learning where I actually knew more about Audacity than you did for just one little tiny moment.
Well,
then I showed you my like three tricks that I'd picked up, and then
it was great. Well,
and you used them, and then you moved on, and then you were way past me ever since. But
well, it's not even a competition like that. That's like the part of the fun of the podcast was just like figuring shit out together. Yeah. And like, it's this constant like drive to want to make things better. Like, even though our podcast sounds good, I'm in my head strategizing about like, okay, this is the next microphone purchase. If we can get a mixing board, I'd love to get a Go XLR. Uh-huh. Can we have a soundboard so we can do little sound effects?
Cute.
Where it wins the video component. Like, I have all these like, you know, next steps. And I think that's part of the fun. Is I do love learning the tech aspect, and I do love learning how to do new things and how to make our show that much more compelling.
For sure.
And it's just fun to kind of grow as a content creator through these last 2 years and learn what we're capable of. And it's been very exciting and cool.
Yeah. For me. What do you think is like the number one thing that you feel like you've learned?
Ooh. I think at a base level that it's not as daunting as I would have thought in terms of the editing, in terms of the skill set. I'm not saying podcasting is easy, because it's certainly not. But I think, like, I was really hung up on certain technical aspects seeming really daunting. But I think once I took the time to teach myself, and especially repetition over editing these 99 episodes, when we put out our first episode, I remember it took me, geez, like 6+ hours to edit it, because I just was kind of figuring out what I was doing. I was trying to eliminate, like, the awkward pauses and the coughs or the breathing and the spaces and things, and just trying to make it really clean. But I think over time I've learned how to, like, produce a well-executed, good-sounding podcast of, like, this is where we should be positioned from the microphone, when to not breathe into the microphone or cough into the microphone.
Yeah.
I can quickly scan a recording to see when the audio is peaking and when it's, like, hitting consistent levels. Like,
yeah.
I can now edit a one-hour podcast in less than an hour.
You can,
like,
see the
ums. You know what I mean? I can, like...
Which is so fascinating to me.
And I can also, like, I listen to the audio as we're recording, so, like, I'm monitoring it throughout. So I don't need to re-listen to that audio. I do re-listen to guest audio episodes just because I always want to make sure, since we're recording on separate tracks, that things are syncing up correctly. And I also just like to see, like, how did this interview come together? Like, I want to listen back to it and just kind of learn and grow from that experience. But so I think it would be that. It's that just, like, how to correctly execute a good-sounding product. And then on top of that, I think I would say I've just learned how to be confident. I didn't really have an issue with public speaking. I had to overcome that early on in college when I had a job where I had to introduce, like, Grammy award-winning musicians to crowds, and that just, like, kind of just, like,
for me,
cut any fear of that kind of thing for me. So I wouldn't say I was ever stressed in that aspect, but I feel like I've learned how to be a good host. I wouldn't say I'm great. I wouldn't say I'm a master. I'm growing and I'm learning, but I will say, like, I think I've come a long way in terms of, like, presenting an engaging conversation, asking good questions in interviews, structuring things. Cause, like, I was thinking about it, and in our very early episodes, we didn't even have segments. Like, it was all just like, we're talking about this game, or we're talking about this movie, and we're just going to talk about it until we don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
But then I feel like the show really
blossomed.
I feel like we hit our stride as soon as we came up with the topics. Like,
yeah.
We had the introduction. We've got the news where we break down a news story. We have title track where that's our main topic. And Questions with Claire kind of kept it fun and loose, which is a segment we collaborated on together.
We should have, speaking of things that we could do in the future, we could have, like, little songs for each segment.
I want to. That's when I had a question for later in this show of what are, like, goals and things you want to do in the future. In terms of equipment operations, I want to get a MIDI keyboard so I can upgrade some of our theme music. I love our theme music, but I would like to, like, take the themes and, like, do some cool stuff. And now that I have, like, recording equipment, we could add some instruments and do some fun music things with it. So that's, like, a long-term goal for me. And to your point, I would love to add, like, a Questions with Claire jingle, a little We've Got the News jingle, a title track jingle. Like, I think that'd be really fun to just, like, add another fun layer of production and polish to the show.
A little fade in, fade out action.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, I think those are the biggest learnings for me. How about for you?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like this is going to sound weird. I feel like I've learned a lot about how to talk to people on the internet. So as someone with, you know, social anxiety and just
Sorry, I was taking a sip of tea. That doesn't sound weird at all. I know.
Okay.
Expound, though.
Just like having social anxiety and, like, having a hard time talking to people, especially people I don't know super well, like, introducing yourself and then diving into, like, deep conversations and just, like, learning about people. I've always loved it, but I find it really daunting. And there's an added wrinkle when you're over the internet of, like, you're not really in a room with somebody, and there's, like, sometimes there's a delay in the video, like, there's a little bit of lag,
So
that can make it feel a little awkward too. And I just feel like I learned a lot about like overcoming that to just be able to like make good connections with people and have good conversations.
Yeah, legitimately, shout out to you for that. I think you crush it on every episode. Aww. And especially with the guests, I think you really bring that added perspective and keep conversations going and keep things really interesting. Also, another wrinkle to that is that most of the guests I arrange and I've kind of made connections with through the video game industry and through, you know, Twitter or Discord or, you know, different podcasting communities that I've kind of become a part of over the years. But most of the time, you don't really know the guests that I'm bringing on, unless it's a recurring guest.
Beforehand.
But, like, I think what's really fun to see is, like you said, seeing you overcome that social anxiety and then have passionate, fun, lighthearted discussions with people about things that we all love. Yeah. And I think that's kind of the power of video games or movies and pop culture. Of just, like, you know, it makes me think of something Greg Miller from Kind of Funny has always said about, like, you show up at a Kind of Funny meet and greet and you're waiting in line and there's a Kind of Funny fan in front of you. Like, all you have to do is ask, like, hey, what have you been playing? Or have you watched any good movies recently? And you're off to the races with a conversation. And I think, like, all the amazing guests that we've had on the show, it has been that natural and that easy because they're just great folks. And those conversations have flowed really well. But I think me, early on especially, was, like, mortified of not asking the right questions or tech stuff not working or just not being viewed as, like,
interesting.
I just felt imposter syndrome. Yeah, I was like, why should I have a podcast? Who's gonna listen to the podcast? Why would anyone want to be on the podcast? And I gotta give a shout out especially early on to Jacob McCourt, Alex O'Neill, Joseph Hooper, who had all been podcasting for years at the time we started, and I looked up to them in a big way within the space because they were doing something that I really wanted to do, and they were putting out you know, episodes that were entertaining and insightful and fun and just really well produced. And I was like, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I hit all of them up to be on the show, they were nothing but super encouraging and welcoming and helpful. And at no point did they insinuate that I was not welcome in the podcasting space. If anything, they made me feel so welcome. And I think without folks like them, I wouldn't have kept going. Like, I think my own social anxiety and my own imposter syndrome would have gotten the best of me after a certain point.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. I think there are the good people go a long way, and I feel like we have been very fortunate, especially early on, but really throughout the show's whole run so far, just to know and meet so many really good people.
Yeah. I also want to be clear, because I'm calling this the retrospective, and we're talking, like, very passive. The show's not going away anytime soon.
I think that was clear when we were talking about, like, what are our goals for the future, too.
I think it is, too, but I just felt like, you know, we're speaking very fondly and nostalgically, and I just wanted to be clear that this isn't
I remember back in the day when we recorded a podcast
this
every week.
This isn't a farewell. I'll miss those days. No. This is a time capsule, in a sense of, like, won't this be fun to look at in another 100 episodes?
It's a little freeze frame, just a little bit of a freeze frame in time right now. Yeah.
I didn't think of this question, but I'm thinking of it now because I think it'd be cool. But what's something you want to accomplish with the podcast right now that you hope we accomplish by episode 200? So then we can say definitively on episode 200 if we did it or not.
Ooh, interesting. Well, specifically with the podcast or just, like, in general? Because, like, a dog would be cool.
I think that's fair. You can have outside of the podcast goals. I was thinking podcast specific. I think mine would be something like, I want to work in the games industry to some professional capacity.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, whether that's my full-time gig, whether I do a one-off freelance thing, whether I do a random sponsored collaboration thing that I don't get paid for, but I get the experience of it or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just want to do, and I think being granted media access at PAX was that to some extent, but I want to do that, like, 10 times over. Like, I in a sense that I want to keep being involved in the games industry and I want to make that impact. So that's mine, is I want to do something professionally in the games industry. And I think I'm off to a good start, because technically you could already count PAX, but I want to keep doing more of that.
Indeed. That sounds really nice. For me, I feel like I want to get to a point where I have fewer and fewer moments of like, hey, we're talking about this video game. Hey, Claire, what's your experience with this video game franchise? Oh, I don't have any experience with this video game franchise. And it's already gone to a point where I have played way more video games than I otherwise would have, and way more video games than I did when we first started, because I've been playing games this whole time.
Sure.
Instead of just playing only the same three games, I sometimes pepper in a little bit of other stuff in there. Right. So I think that that's already been a big improvement for me. I'm just like expanding the breadth of my video games experience. It's been so much fun.
That's
so
awesome.
I want to, in 100 episodes, look back and say, yeah, I've played a lot of video games in the past 100 episodes.
I think the one thing I'll say to that is, I think don't ever feel like imposter syndrome on your end of like, oh, I haven't played these certain games, because we did that gaming piles of shame episode where we talked about all the video game franchises we haven't played, and I have so many too,
right?
And like, I, you know, I think that's part of being in the video game industry, and part of being in this space is there's always a million games to play and everyone always has a giant backlog, and that's I've decided not something to be shameful of. It's something just to be excited about that there's more games to play.
Definitely.
And I think another thing that I really love about your perspective that you brought to the podcast are that you're genuinely very interested in games that I typically wouldn't gravitate towards.
Yes, that's true.
Which I think has made me try games I wouldn't normally try. And it's also made me like second backseat gamer experience, see other games that I typically wouldn't experience. Like, I've seen Endgame, Subnautica, or Stardew Valley, or Animal Crossing, or, you know, these different games that you're incredibly passionate about that I definitely wouldn't have seen through to the end.
That's fair, but let me just... I have deliberately kept Endgame Subnautica from you. I just want the listeners to know that he has not seen the end of the game. He doesn't know how it ends. Please don't spoil it for him. You got to experience that ending for yourself.
It's
truly special.
How about I say this on episode 99, because you've recorded going on 100 podcasts plus with me. I will play Subnautica or Subnautica Below Zero.
Change that to and we got a deal.
In 2023, and we will record an extended podcast talking about it.
Yes.
And you can invite whatever Subnautica enthusiast guest you would like.
Hear
on
that,
the show.
Listeners? That could be you.
Right in right now.
That sounds awesome. That sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay.
I could even backseat game you to help it go faster, because
that sounds like it would be necessary. No, I was gonna say necessary.
Yeah,
but
well, that's what it is with Subnautica. I feel like honestly half the time I spent
like
on the first
game
was just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do right now? Just
what are your
wandering
thoughts? Steam Deck game?
No.
Why?
Visuals.
But Steam Deck looks good.
Yes.
But you want me to see it like 4K crazy?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
All right. Okay, I agreed to that. I didn't sign anything. So it's... No, I'm kidding. I'm down. We're doing it.
I mean, I'm sure the Steam Deck looks better than the Switch.
That's more just what I was thinking, because I just think it would be a fun portable game, but I think it would run and look pretty good on the Steam Deck, was my thought.
But the difference from playing it, at least Below Zero, on the PS5, on the TV... in 4K, to playing it on the Switch was so astronomically disappointing that I wouldn't want to risk you spending that much time playing it on Steam Deck.
Okay.
If it wasn't going to look as good as it possibly could, because that game has so many, especially Below Zero, so many visually breathtaking moments that I want you to be able to experience in full breathtaking glory.
Breathtaking was said a lot in that statement. I'm down. breathtaking. I'm down. I'll do it. I've committed to it. It's happening. All right. What other questions haven't we had happen?
What are your favorite episodes of the podcast?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I feel like
you came up with it.
I think my immediate answer is our most recent Game of the Year awards episode that we did with Jacob and really Joseph. Fun. I think that one meant a lot to me because listening to Giant Bomb, Game of the Year discussion, Kind of Funny, all the big outlets over the years, that Game of the Year content is some of my favorite video game podcast content ever. And so being able to do a big roundtable discussion with friends and come up with our own categories and have some friendly heated debate. You know, I love the Game of the Year podcast that you and I did. But it was fun having two more voices in the room just to kind of have that, like, majority vote situation of, like, three out of four people thought this or two out of four people thought this. We have a tie. Oh, what do we do? Like,
that was
just that really,
really
back
fun.
And forth, I thought, was incredibly, incredibly fun.
It was also really fun because I think we all had at least somewhat different, like, games that we had played that year.
Yeah,
so
and I think
different things to
it
the
was
table.
Also interesting because, like, I think we all had a different, well, I think Joseph and I both said Psychonauts 2 was our Game of the Year for, or well, I think I had Halo as my personal Game of the Year, but then I was like, if I'm gonna vote for the outlet, we both said Psychonauts, and so it was like just that back and forth was incredibly fun.
Yes,
and really cool.
I also really loved our PAX episode.
That I think
was,
that...
Well, both of them. They were just really fun to
that
record.
Was, like, podcast dream for me, honestly. And I think that came full circle in a way of, like, after years of being friends with Jacob and Joseph via the internet and collaborating together on each other's podcasts to finally be in the same room together, you know, podcasting together, grabbing dinner together, like just that whole weekend was fucking awesome. But yeah, 100% you're right.
Yeah, that was excellent.
That's up there, honestly. That's probably my favorite if we're being like honest, but just for variety's sake.
Are we only counting numbered episodes or can we include shows?
Oh, our Patreon stuff.
Yeah,
you don't throw in the Patreon stuff
because our Christmas movie bracket
oh
was
my
really
god
fun.
That was so that was the year that, like, I was like, we have to do, because when we first started, another learning that I had was that we don't have to release an episode every single week. But that first year, I was like, we release an episode every single week. So it's like the day after Christmas and we're recording a crazy Patreon bracket episode,
like,
and just like
in PJs with hot cocoa mug, wearing the Santa hat, wrapping paper
all
over the floor.
In all fairness, though, I almost think that kept me sane through that period because that was
a hard
peak
hard
pandemic
time.
We weren't going home for Christmas or Thanksgiving, but we had the podcast, and I remember that was the Christmas that my dad and I got, like, super obsessed with Fortnite, and we're playing Fortnite. We had, like, video call up, and then we were playing Fortnite, and my mom was, like, working on a puzzle, and you were hanging out, and it was just, like,
it was a good way to mark time.
Good memory.
Having a weekly podcast was a good way to mark time, because in that, like, the endless spiral of the pandemic time where time just seemed to kind of all blur together, it was something that happened every week, and it was measurable.
Yeah, 100%.
And it made a big difference.
I also want to highlight, and I guess I want to say this same thing about the guests, of, like, if I don't say a specific episode, all of these, all 100 of our episodes mean so much to me.
Yeah.
And anyone that was involved in them, you mean so much to me, and I love all of these episodes. Another one that stands out, though, or very early on, episode 6, when we interviewed Zach Hartzman and talked about video games and education and how he teaches with video games and his social studies and English classes. And that was just, like, one, an inspiring episode because he's an awesome person and teacher and he's doing so much for his students in such positive ways, engaging them in ways that I never had a teacher that did anything like what he's doing, and it's really making a difference for his students, and I think he really enjoys it and is passionate about it, which is fantastic. But from a podcast side, that was just, like, such a cool interview and such a fun moment of, like, we can use this platform to promote positivity, to promote people in the industry who are doing amazing things. We can spotlight really fantastic work.
Yeah.
And that, like, symbolized, like, a goal for me of, like, that's what I want to do with this podcast is episodes like our interview with Zach.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that was really special.
Yeah.
How about you? What are some of your favorites we haven't talked about?
Well, I think that we've talked about all of them except for I always just I think back to our very first episode talking about The Last of Us Part 2, and it was something just so special about that. Like, yes, it was our first time getting on the mic, but just, like, I felt like the conversation just felt, like, really earnest.
We had so much to say about that game. We were so passionate,
and we just, like, and it was so fresh and raw at the time.
You had literally just rolled credits minutes before.
And that night was, like, just, like, a really memorable night, like, playing through the game, I spent a lot of time that day to be done. I don't know if
we've talked about that on the podcast.
I don't know. I think we might have mentioned it.
Because you played it for, like, 8 hours straight, and then we recorded until, like, 10:30 or 11 at night.
No, it was 12:30 in the morning by the time we finished.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, shoot.
I promise you. Oh, because that's so funny. No restaurants were open except for the Taco Bell, and it was pandemic, so only the drive-thru was open, and our car wouldn't start.
Oh, fuck.
Because the battery had died, mm-hmm. And they wouldn't serve us walking through the drive-thru. So we didn't eat. I think we had
some random leftovers in the fridge that we threw together or something.
Yeah, it was like some yogurt with cheese or like something.
No,
like,
you had like half a burrito or something from the night before.
And then in the morning we got our car jumped and we drove to Washington.
I do remember all that now. Yep. That was and then I edited it in like 6 hours the next day because I was like determined to get it up on that specific day I had set. It's funny how when you're your own boss and you're in charge of it, like, somehow it almost becomes harder in a sense of, like...
Yes.
In all reality, I should have been like, well, we'll push it a week or whatever. We don't need to record this right now. But I really wanted to, so we did.
Yeah. Well, I think we wanted to record it before we went out of town.
Right. But I think, to my point, that's been another big learning for me is just, like, you know, I want to treat this podcast like a job in a sense that I'm professional. I respect the listener's time. I put out quality product, etc. But I think I have learned in the last year or so, especially, of just like, we got to take care of ourselves first.
Yeah.
It's okay if the episode's a day or two late. It's okay if we put up two episodes in a week.
It's okay if
to make up for a missed episode. It's
in emergent situations.
I remember, like, I was so stressed out in early 2020 when you and I got, or 2021.
22.
No, 22. That was this year. Holy
Jesus
shit.
Christ.
Time is wild.
I was going to say, though, that definitely was a turning point because it was like, I can't record an episode. And it was like,
when we both got COVID is what I was leading up to in January. And
we just couldn't record.
We couldn't record.
Yeah.
And we had planned on doing our game of the year, like, the week of first week of January. And we couldn't record it until, like, the end of the month, maybe February, and I was, like, so stressed out about it, but we got so many amazing messages from listeners and friends of the show and people in the community that just reached out and were like, hey, you're totally good. Take care of yourself first.
Yeah.
Don't sweat it, and, you know, the listeners came back when we came back, and that felt really good and really validating to me that it was, like, it was more about the positivity and the podcast that we do put out, and less so of the, like, you have to be so fucking consistent and otherwise nothing matters. And it's like, our voice matters.
Yeah.
Our friendships matter. The small community we're building matters. And it just was such a positive vibe.
It was a positive vibe in a really hard time. And I think that kind of almost like gave us permission for like down the road when other emergencies came up. I think we only had like one or two other weeks this year where we haven't recorded. We've straight up missed the week.
Yeah, it's...
It felt like it was more acceptable.
A few episodes, especially recently, where it's like, okay, we have a guest coming on. They can't record until Thursday, so we're going to post on Friday or Saturday to compensate for editing time and things like that. But I always feel now early on, I wouldn't have felt comfortable, but now I'm very flexible with that kind of thing. It's like, historically, yes, the podcast releases on Monday, but like, it's okay if sometimes we don't hit that Monday because of various factors happening in our lives. And, you know, I'm working towards getting us to a place where we're a couple episodes ahead.
Yeah.
But ultimately, recording a weekly podcast is very difficult on top of full-time jobs and, you know, content creation. And I think we both have jobs that we very much enjoy, but they demand a lot of time and they are, you know, physically or mentally exhausting on certain days, even on a good day, you know, and
like today,
it can be challenging to come home from that and hop on the mic, or wake up on a weekend when you really just want to relax and hop on the mic. But I think it's been very cathartic for me and very therapeutic in a way of just, like, once again, proving to myself that we can do it and we can do it well. And as soon as I'm talking to you or our friends on the podcast, I'm having fun. I'm in the moment.
Yeah.
There's just that, like, split second of anxiety, imposter syndrome.
Right.
Every time, like, the day before, the morning of like, the podcast, darn. But then we get started, always, or I'm writing the show notes, and I'm always reminding you of that. And
I'm always ready for, like, we just got to do it, because then we have fun. And then we are done with it, and we're like, that was nice.
Well, and it's like that, too, with playing games for the podcast. Of sometimes I get frustrated with myself, because I want to stay relevant, and I want to stay up to date with what's going on, but I end up, especially recently, not finishing games, because I'm so quick to, oh, this is the new relevant thing, let's play this to talk about it, and then I fall off titles.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to a place where, like, I feel like I am playing what I'm enjoying in the moment. I'm playing what I'm in the mood for.
Yeah.
And I am playing, between the two of us and our guests, we're playing relevant things and we're staying up to date. And, like, I think our game of the year discussion will be quite comprehensive in terms of the games we cover. Happy to report Joseph and Jacob will be back again. And I think it's going to get spicy. I think there's some hot takes. There is some fandom behind certain games, and there's some not fandom behind certain games. I don't even know specifically what I'm alluding to. I have a couple games in mind that I'm like,
you're just being a tease.
Well, in a sense, but there are a couple games that I'm like, I'm very curious how this group of people is going to address this game.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? All in good fun.
Garden Story. Get ready. There's going to be some hot fucking takes.
Turnips. Fucking love turnips.
He did not play the PAX demo either.
The PAX demo that I didn't realize until after the fact, that game's been out for like a year.
No, I know. Yeah.
It's on Game Pass. I downloaded it on the Xbox for you. I don't know if you...
No, I noticed.
Okay.
I honestly haven't...
You haven't touched the Xbox recently. Sidebar.
I have not played a video game. I have not played a video game in quite some time. I started reading again. And I started reading in earnest. I picked up this book, and there've been a couple weeks where I have not been able to do anything except for read this book. In my very limited free time, let's be clear. And I recently finished, and now I am just like chomping on my teeth. I'm ready for the next one.
Well, that's good. That's a good feeling to have a book you're into.
Yeah. But anyway, that just answers your question. I have not even turned the Xbox on. That's
100%
fair. In a solid 3 weeks.
100% fair and all good. I have been like bouncing between a bunch of games. It'll be hard towards the end of these next couple weeks. Like, we have an amazing guest lineup, and then we have a couple key reviews for indies and a AAA game here and there that I really want to do. And yeah, there's just like too many games to cover everything in the podcast. So I think the game of the year conversation is going to be a nice, like, here's all the things we got to over the holidays. Let's talk about it. Let's give some impressions.
Which is sort of what it was last year. I remember there were, I think, 3 or 4, granted smaller, games that we didn't play until we got to that holiday break stretch.
Well, I was thinking this year, I don't have a topic for our last episode of the year. And I was thinking it would be, a coworker of mine gave me a cool idea of doing kind of a holiday gift guide of, like, recommend some games or video game products that you would recommend for, you know, everyone from your video game enthusiast. Specifically, this came up because my coworker asked if I had any flight simulator recommendations for games. And I was like, man, do I have Microsoft Flight Simulator. And so we were chatting. So then I was like, that would be a really fun episode to do something like that. And then I think as a part of that episode, we could also do kind of these are the games that we're planning to play over the holidays. Here's everything we've played in the last couple months that we haven't really talked about that we think you listeners should check out over the holidays, so that we're all like hyped up on these new games going into Game of the Year in January. So
that sounds fun.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. Anyway, moving on to the next question. What has been a highlight as a result of creating this podcast for you? We've touched on a lot of specific moments, but
I think that everything that I've said contributes to this for me. Like, I think I've answered this question already.
That's fair.
Do you have anything else?
I think I would just say the friendships and the learning and self-growth that I've had of just like gaining confidence, learning how to produce a podcast on the technical side, and then making some amazing friendships and collaborations that have come as a result of the podcast.
Yeah,
so I think those are the biggest for me.
Definitely. Totally agree.
But specifically, if I was going to say like one moment, it would be PAX. It would be 100% PAX of seeing all of our friends, making amazing podcasts, meeting so many amazing developers and fellow content creators, and just a huge celebration of video games in the best way after everything that's happened the last few years amidst the pandemic and not being able to congregate in person. That was really, really special.
Yeah, definitely.
And why I'm incredibly excited for PAX East and just like kind of counting down the days until we can go to Boston and do it all again.
Absolutely.
The next question is, what advice would you give listeners who want to create a podcast but are unsure if they should? I want to direct this question to you, Claire, first, because I think you're you're what pushed me to finally just do it and get out of the ideation phase. So what's the advice that you would give to some aspiring fellow content creators?
Just do it.
Short and simple.
Yeah.
Just
take out your notes app on your phone and make it a voice memo.
Just try it. Yeah. That's
just talk into your microphone, even if it's your phone, and listen to it again when you're done.
Yeah.
And then you go from there. Because once you start doing it, it becomes a lot easier to think about
it. Yeah, I would
it.
Say, like, I think something, too, that kept me from starting earlier was that I was like, who do I podcast with? Because in my friend groups, I was always the video game guy. No one in my friend groups in high school or even middle school were as passionate about the games industry as I was. And it wasn't until I started podcasting with you and then we met so many wonderful folks that I feel like now I have a slew of video game fans and friends that can chop it up with us on the same level that I haven't experienced.
Right. And that worked out really well. But I feel like if you don't have a second person, it's okay to just be a solo.
Sorry, I didn't get to... That's what
I thought you were...
No,
I thought
sorry,
you had
I
finished.
Did
I heard
pause.
A period.
No, it's okay. I was going to say that, though, was just that I think you can do it alone. I think if you're worried about, like, audio podcast by yourself, maybe try streaming, whether it's YouTube
That's
gaming or Twitch, and you can kind of talk over as you're playing the game you're talking about, and that's kind of an easier way to do that solo podcast.
Counterpoint.
Even though that's hard too, though, because it's hard to keep the game moving and be entertaining and keep that engaging. But that being said,
definitely a multitasking situation.
But that being said, I think that's a low barrier to entry of like, but to your point, like start recording on your phone, try it, get used to it. And I think once you start creating content, it's a lot easier to find folks who want to collaborate with.
And if you're, like, really self-conscious about just being one person, just, like, do voices and pretend that you're two people.
That's one way to do it. I would also throw out that if you have podcasts that you're a big fan of, hop in their Discord. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to find somebody that wants to also start a podcast and collaborate with that is also a fan of the podcast that inspired you to podcast.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say that if you have a podcast that you'd like hack into them and just like put your voice.
Just steal their podcast. No, that's not where it was going.
No, I was going to say more like hack in and then like make your voice a part of their podcast. Like,
oh, that's
kind of
weird.
Add yourself.
I don't know about that.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
That feels very
like Silence of the Lambs-y.
Yeah, do the Discord
I was
thing.
More saying, yeah. Well, and I also just think Discord communities, especially like I think about like the Min-Max show, for example, and like GameSpot or Kinda Funny or these communities, like their Discords are so wholesome and there's just nice folks who are in similar places as you. And you know, as a big fan of Kinda Funny, like I've met so many KFBFs that have then come on the podcast and vice versa, me guesting on their shows and things. So like that's a great gateway just to like meet people and collaborate and have a good time.
Definitely.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. What would be a dream or no? Who? Sorry. Who? Who would be a dream?
Who? What? When? Where?
Who would be a dream podcast guest for you and why?
I mean, there's a big obvious one for me. I think all of our guests are fantastic, and especially over these next couple weeks, we have some dream guests. Mm-hmm. For me, that I'm incredibly honored are giving us their time, and I'm so excited to have them on. I think my like number one slam dunk dream guest though would be Gooden Greg Miller on the show.
Yeah,
you know, he's the OG inspiration behind me podcasting. I've had the pleasure to meet him in person on a number of occasions. Most recently for work, I got to go to the launch stream of The Spare Bedroom, which I don't think I've talked about on the podcast, but was literally life-changing and inspiring and so cool. And
yeah,
I met amazing people that I've looked up to for so long, and I just like being a kind of funny best friend for years and years and years, seeing their dreams come true in real time and seeing them do their intros and how emotional everyone was that day, and just like such good vibes. And I would just love to have Greg on the podcast. One, just on air, thank him for everything he's done for me, mm-hmm. and for so many others with just his positivity and his influence. And, you know, they say don't meet your heroes, but every time I chat with Greg, he's the nicest person. He remembers me. He always makes a point to say hi if he sees me at an event, or, you know, I work at a pizza restaurant and he'll come into the restaurant from time to time, and he'll always make a point to say hi, and just like,
yeah,
the most genuine dude. So I would love to have him on the podcast also, just to like, I just think he'd be such an interesting person to interview, because mm-hmm. he's always the one conducting the interview, that I would love to like be in the interview seat with someone who like I so respect in this space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have anybody that you'd want?
I agree with everything you just said about how amazing it would be to have Greg Miller on the podcast. I think if we're talking about the dream of dreams, that would be it.
Right on. I would also throw out more recently the Fire Escape crew.
Oh, that's
Mary
cool.
Kish.
That's a fair point.
Mike Mahardy, Dan Reichert. I would love to have any of them. I had some internet beef recently start with Mike yeah. Mahardy, because I wore his About the Author shirt to PAX West to Mary's panel,
it's
and she took
shirt.
A picture and posted it, and it was amazing. And then Mike Mahardy was like, what's his address? Like, jokingly threatening me. I invited him on the show, and I haven't heard a response, but I think any and all of them would be amazing.
Yes, that would be really fun.
They particularly, them and the Giant Bomb crew, I think, do long form podcasts so well, like the conversational nonsense podcasts so well. And that was a big influence, I think, behind, I think, about our Patreon show that was also inspired by Joseph Hooper's show, Player Player Podcasts with Arsene, where they have their monthly cool down episode where they just talk about whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love folks that can make whatever the fuck really entertaining and
yeah.
engaging content.
Yeah.
I think that's a hard skill. And I think,
yeah.
you know, player podcast does it really well. Firescape does it really well, but just that vibe, and you can't fake genuine friendship. You know what I mean? And that banter and that
or
chemistry.
Or just like, yeah, the chemistry.
So yeah, I think all of those are dream guests for me. But like I said, all of our guests are dream guests.
Yes.
In my eyes, because
indeed.
I'm just so thankful for everybody.
Absolutely. So what can listeners expect from us in 2023?
2023. It's a big year, I would say. We're heading into year 3 of the
mm-hmm.
podcast. We're not stopping anytime soon. I think the biggest thing that you can look forward to is that I am very hard at work enabling a video component.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really passionate about delving into YouTube this year. So we'll have, I hope to have, it maybe won't be every week, but at least a monthly live recording of the podcast. And I think that would be a fun one to have a guest
yeah.
on, so that we could have some listener interaction and, you know, make it kind of a special occasion event. So that's something that I really want to do. So that was a goal on our Extra Life tiers, last Extra Life, to introduce a YouTube channel. And it didn't quite make it. It might still happen this year, but I think at this point I'd rather kind of recuperate over the holidays and come out in January out or February strong. Really yeah. strong. And I think that's also when folks are looking for new content, less so around the holidays, just because everyone's so busy and, you know, folks want to take time off. Folks want to take time with their families, and we won't be recording an episode the last 2 weeks of the year. So we'll take some time off as well and just come back swinging.
Yes.
But I think the video component is the biggest thing that I'm excited to introduce. On top of that, I would love to have somewhat regular cadence with some gameplay streams. I love when we do our Extra Life streams, which we will be doing something. I haven't nailed down the date and plan exactly yet, but we will be doing some sort of live stream this year for Extra Life. But I just love playing games, you know, whether it's live on YouTube or live on Twitch. I would love to just hang out with chat, play a game, get a group of friends together, have kind of a game party night, stream that. That to me is like more of a kind of a one-off and less of like a, this happens every Friday night, just because the timing of it is hard. But I would like to get into some seasonal video content and different things like that. So those are my main goals. Really, and then you can also expect a regular rotation of amazing guests. I think between events like the Kind of Funny launch and PAX and different conventions that we're hoping to go to and the networking we're doing and meeting wonderful folks, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. And I'm really excited, as I said multiple times on this episode, about the next few weeks of guests. And obviously next year, I want to keep that train rolling with collaborating with awesome folks.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that sounds super fun. I think that's the biggest, those are the biggest things.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's
all. You can also expect a revamp to our Patreon. I think just kind of simplifying things and just having that be a way that if you enjoy our content and want to support us financially, that you can go over there and get some fun bonus content, but less so of like a crazy amount of bonus content. I think I've in the past tried to do too much there, and my mental health and work balance has kind of suffered. So ultimately, I don't want to put our content behind a paywall. So I think our Patreon will almost function more like a tip jar. And then we'll have those monthly bonus episodes that have been recorded the last couple years. But other than that, I don't know if we'll keep the monthly bonus episodes going. Yeah. If you want them, though, tweet me. Let me know. Message me on Patreon if that's something you want to stick around.
Have a like quote unquote Klook show type episode within the regular rotation, and like that's the month.
I think I'm just at a place where I want to put my focus into what's actually getting out to people. And not to say I don't,
that makes sense.
I'm so grateful for those that have chose to support us on Patreon, but I just want to give a product that I feel like is worth your money. And if it's not worth your money, I don't want to waste your time and money. And I think everything we've put out on Patreon is great, but I just have been looking at my own work balance and just...
It's been a lot to
It's not maintain. Sustainable. Yeah. So just trying to figure out the perfect balance there, where we're putting out great content. You can support us however you want. You have some options. You have some bonus content if you're interested in that sort of thing. But we're kind of maintaining our own sanity.
Yes.
And just still enjoying
Very
it.
Very important. Podcast conversations.
Love it. And then the last question, what are our goals for the future of Lukewarm Greens? I feel like we've touched on that.
Yeah, I think that we just said
Like I said, just to sum it up in the end, put a nice bow on it. The show's not going away anytime soon. If anything, I think we're just getting started. Mm-hmm. I want to keep the positive energy. I want to keep celebrating indie games. I want to keep celebrating AAA games that we think are interesting, and keep celebrating positive things that we're passionate and bringing people in to discuss those with that I think will be interesting and engaging and representative of everyone in the game space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Indies, AAAs, and everything in between.
Well, Claire, thank you so much for chatting it up. As always, shall we head into questions with Claire?
Let's do it.
To close it all out.
Questions with Claire. This week's question. What is a
podcast? We don't need theme music. We have it.
What is a podcast segment that you want to introduce?
Ooh. Do you have an answer? Because I know you have
a thing. I have a thing.
But do you want to keep that thing a secret until we do it on the podcast, or do you want to talk about it?
I kind of want to talk about it because otherwise I feel like it might not happen. So
go.
Okay.
Expound, as Jared Petty would say.
Okay, so I've got a plan. I've got a plan.
Arthur, I've got a plan. That was a really bad Dutch impression.
It was really bad.
This is going off the rails. Steering it back onto the road.
Yeah. Going off the rails like that train. That train.
Yeah, that you can steer back onto the tracks.
Train, steer the train. Oh, good lord. So I want to introduce a trivia segment called Two-Person Trivia. I've come up with a format. I'd come up with this on a road trip where Luke and I can play a trivia game together, and it's only involving two people. Because all the other trivia games, you have one person who knows all the questions and all the answers. And they ask the contestants, and the contestants play, and then there's a winner. But in my two-person trivia format, there's no third-person moderator. We fill that role ourselves. So it's really it's 1v1. It's a 1v1 game. And so I want to do that.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it.
100%.
I've been planning it for quite some time.
No, I'm very excited. It's very fun. I'm very excited about that. We love video game trivia here. Shout out to friend of the show, Jacob McCourt.
Yes.
Good vibes.
That's a great show. Have you listened to video game trivia and thought, man, I would love to play this with one other person? How can we make that happen? That's kind of
Claire has
like,
an idea.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
It's like Jeopardy. It's like Jeopardy with two people. It's two-person trivia. What's your thing?
Mine is much more basic in terms of execution, but I'm piloting this in our 100th episode with our special guests. I'm calling it Rapid Fire Round. And essentially, I've come up with five very quick questions about gaming tastes and general favorite things that I think will just give listeners like a very quick insight to our guest and their preferences and interests in a fun way.
Yeah.
And my thought is that I'll slot it in before we jump into We've Got the News. So right when we bring on our guest, we have a little lighthearted, fun introductory segment that just kind of gives the listeners like, oh, they love Pokemon. I love Pokemon too. Or like they can just connect with our guest immediately before we jump into the nitty gritty of We've Got the News. So that was my one idea that I'm cooking.
That sounds really fun.
I have some other ones, but I want to keep them under wraps because
keep it quiet, keep it still developing, keep it tinkering.
I always have wacky ideas and different things I want to do, but that's one that I'm like going to debut this week.
It's kind of like the Colbert questionnaire almost.
I mean, it's not like a lot of podcasts have done it. And like, I think back to Game Informer, especially Ben Hansen used to do these videos when he was at Game Informer. Now he's at MinMax, which is fantastic. But he used to do these videos where they'd interview developers and they'd ask them like 40 or 50 questions about the game, but it would be super quick. And it would be like they're interviewing Neil Druckmann and it'd be like, so when's The Last of Us 3 coming out? What's your favorite clicker? If clickers could have a candy bar, what candy bar would, like, just dorky, hilarious.
Snickers is the only appropriate answer to that question, for the record.
But things like that, where it was just like, you have to answer like 5 seconds or less and just keep going. And it's like hilarious and fun. So I kind of was inspired by that. Just have kind of like a mini condensed version of that to kick off.
Nice.
Certain segments of the show.
Right on. Well, we just need some theme music, and then we're off to the races.
We just need a lot of theme music, I guess, is the takeaway from this episode, which I'm down. I love putting together fun little jingles and stuff.
Indeed.
Well, Claire, that was a lot of fun. To be honest, we talked for way longer than I thought we would, but I really enjoyed it, and it was a really fun conversation. We had a whole
98 podcasts to recap, so.
Yeah, that was a lot. It was a lot.
A lot of content. A lot more coming your way.
100%. So with that, Claire, thank you so much for joining as always. It was a delight.
Yes.
Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Some quick housekeeping items. Please subscribe to our show on your podcast platform of choice. We are now officially on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. If you enjoy our show, consider supporting us at Patreon at patreon.com/lukewarmgames for exclusive podcasts and more. You can go ahead and follow @lukewarmgames on Twitter to get the latest updates on our show. Here's to 100 more episodes. And with that, have a fantastic week. Cheers and happy gaming.